Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Wow. I will never, ever let you down, that I can tell you. And I want to thank Manchester and New Hampshire, very special. You remember those primaries? That primary came around and... remember what happened during the primary? Trump should come in third or fourth, and we came in easily number one, and that was the beginning. That was an easy one. I want to thank you all. This is incredible. And it's great to be back in a state that I love with thousands of hardworking patriots who are the heart and soul of America, and that's what you are. We're actually here today to officially launch our campaign to win the great state of New Hampshire in 2020. And I saw some fake polls put out by the fake news media. And I said that I'm tied. With three of the other candidates, the Democrats. I'm tied in New Hampshire. I don't think so. I mean, maybe. One of them has a rally. It's got 100 people. So this holds 12,000. We're full. And we could fill it up four times, at least. We could fill it up four times. But I just want to thank you all. I just think it's going to be a tremendous 4 years. We're going to have a tremendous 4 years. Can you believe it? We only have a little more than a year to go where it all started, right? The greatest movement in the history of our country. The greatest political movement in the history of our country. And even though we had fake witch hunts on our back and all the other things that we had to go through, we have taken this big, beautiful ship, and it's being turned around very quickly. Three years ago, we campaigned across the country on a pledge to make America great again, and that's exactly what we've done. I think we can honestly say it's the greatest slogan in the history of politics in America. Make America great again. So if you don't mind, you know, the other candidates go, they spend millions and millions of dollars on this question that I'm going to ask you. They spend millions. You remember the first slogan from our opponent? That's right. Neither do I. Neither does he. I don't know. Nobody remembers. The only thing I remember is the first night I went out after I heard it. And I said, see, it's all about her. And they immediately changed it after spending like $1 million. They said, it's all about her. That didn't work out too well. That slogan wasn't too good. So we have to do this. We have to make a decision. Do you give up the greatest slogan in the history of politics in our country? Make America great again, right? So do we give up Make America Great Again for a new slogan? Because look, our country is doing great. We are doing very well with China, despite the fact that they want to have you believe to the contrary. All you have to do is say, China, how you doing? They're not too happy. They're not too happy. They're losing millions of jobs. The tariffs are working. And they're eating the tariffs, by the way. There's no price increase. You know, you got to talk to these people. The fake news. But do we?
Hello, everybody. Hope you're well. We're listening to President Trump's last rally in New Hampshire a few days back.
By the way,
the prayer call will start in just a few minutes.
You know what's been great? Our great farmers have been so incredible because they've been targeted by China. And frankly, they've been targeted for a long time, including by incompetent politicians that have run this country for a long time. So we're making up for a lot of lost ground. But do we give up Make America Great Again for Keep America Great? Keep Okay, you ready? Ready? I love this because it's free. And we have all the time in the world, right? Is there anything better than a Trump rally? What about a sleepy Joe Biden rally? Right? Boy, he's been some beauty. I sort of hope it's him. I don't mind any of them. You got Pocahontas is rising. You got Kamala. Kamala is falling. You got Beto. Beto is like gone. But we'll see what happens. Whoever, you know, whoever it is, I don't know that it matters. But whoever it is, different people. But I don't know. I think Sleepy Joe may be able to limp across the finish line. But today they announced that they're going to cut way back on his appearances because he is such a disaster, they're going to have fewer appearances. You've heard that, right? This is true. They're going to cut way back on his appearances. Can you believe it? If I ever did that, it would be over. The fake news would get us, but we don't let them get us, and it is fake. And today, the deputy editor of the New York Times was demoted. Isn't that beautiful? All the news that's not fit to print, you know? All the news, the fake, failing New York Times. So, what do I go with? What do we go? You know, it's really we. It's not me. We're doing it together. They came from the hills.
We're listening to President Trump's New Hampshire rally, and we will start the prayer call in a minute. Great to have you.
And they voted like nobody's seen before. And it was 306 to 223, remember? 306. And we won Wisconsin. And they said, oh, we never thought of that. Got to think about those things. And we won Michigan. And now we have a lot of car companies coming into Michigan. And we have a lot of great farming events happening, really big in Wisconsin. And we have incredible things going on in Pennsylvania. We just opened up a $10 billion plant. We have many of them going up. Many of them, a lot of jobs. Spending in Louisiana, an LNG plant, $10 billion. Could never have happened. Could never have happened. Pennsylvania, it would have never happened. They wouldn't have allowed him to frack. So they would have never been able to build it. But what a place that is. It'll be open in a little more than a year. But I have to make a decision. It's a big decision. Do we give up the greatest theme, phrase, logo, whatever you want to call it, in the history of
Welcome to the Prayers for 45.com call for Sunday night, August 18th. Greetings to everyone. You are a valued member of our role in this great people's movement created and nurtured by our great president. Tonight, we'll continue to play our role as our group comes together to pray. We welcome our first-time callers and are grateful for the many members that have been with us since the beginning that are on this call tonight. It is a beautiful 72 degrees, no humidity, here in Southern California. It's not a cloud in the sky, and for all you baseball fans, Ernie Banks of the Chicago Cubs used to say on a beautiful day, let's play two. Well, tonight we're going to pray two. In our first prayer, Kimberly will lead us as we continue to pray and praise and throw praise upon our great POTUS. In our second prayer tonight, we're going to break stride. We've been praying for the rule of law, the reset of the rule of law. But tonight, we have a special prayer and a much-needed prayer. We are going to break stride and pray for our family and friends that are anti-Trumpers. One of the things that we know, we all have a family or friend that is not on board with our thoughts concerning President Trump, and some are throwing negative energy, and some even want to disown us. And so we know this is a spiritual war, and in this spiritual war, we've got to throw love and prayers. It's the only way forward for us. So the friends and family, the ones we love, that have fallen into the indoctrination, the mainstream media, the politicians, and even our education system, stick around tonight because we're going to have Christine talk about her personal experience with her sister, who's tried to distance herself, and then Betty will lead us in that second prayer. Well, let's get going. Kimberly, good evening. I know you're possibly in a bad cell. Can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
You're loud and clear. Drive safe.
Okay, well, let's get started while I still have service. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much that you are the one who orders our steps, and you also, therefore, order our president's steps. And we thank you, Lord, that you continue to order his steps. Lord, we thank you that you continue to protect him, to shield him, to keep him safe, Father. We thank you that you continue to prolong his days, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you continue to encourage his spirit, that you continue to increase his stamina. Father, your word says that you are the strength of the weary. And so we call upon you to strengthen our president, Lord. Not that he looks weary, but because you are the strength of the weary, Lord. And we know that we can count on you to give us your strength. Lord, your word says not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. And so we thank you that your Holy Spirit is the one who gives comfort, who gives strength, who gives perspective, who gives wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We thank you that by your blood, we are set free from the bondage of sin and death. And we thank you, Lord, that it's your spirit that fills us and keeps us strong and healthy, Lord. We ask, Lord, also that you would continue to keep our president healthy, Lord, that you would continue to keep him whole, that you would keep him sound in his mind, Lord. We know that your spirit also brings soundness of mind, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that he continues to be strategic, that you continue to give him wisdom and his team on how to drip drop the nuggets of truth and facts around all of these different stories, Lord, whether you want to label them conspiracies or whether you want to label them as lies, Lord, or you want to label them as truth, Father, we know that the fact is what confirms. Lord, we know that it's your truth that is being made known. Lord, we thank you that the things that are hidden are becoming full and clear. Lord, the things that are evil and the things that are good. Lord, we thank you that you are bringing all of these things that are hidden into the light. We thank you for that. Father, we continue to sing your praises and give you the glory, knowing that ultimately this is your plan, and ultimately it is by your hand that this great plan is coming to fruition. We expect great things this week, Lord. We thank you for all of the details that are happening behind the scenes, Lord. We're so excited about the return of the rule of law. Father, we're so excited about how so many people are talking about the circumstances that have just sort of blown up in our faces, Lord, all over the media in the last few weeks. Father, we're thankful that those things are creating new conversations and new dialogue. Father, we thank you that ultimately this is all to bring about truth and fact for the American people to be set free. We thank you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. Amen. We appreciate you opening every Sunday and Thursday for us and leading us in our first prayer. You do a great job, and we'll let you get back to your travels on the road, safe travels, and we will continue on here. Before we get to our second prayer, a couple real quick announcements. First announcement, tomorrow we will release our second article on Prayers for 45. Look for an email notification. The article is entitled, Why the Left Makes It Essential for Us to Stand for the Second Amendment. Also, we are going to post an article every week. We're seeking anybody who is a member of this community that would like to write for Prayers for 45. Bring us your writing skills. The pay isn't great, but you will contribute enormously to this community with your writing. You can send an email to info@prayersfor45.com. If you wish to write, and just subject line it, I want to write. All right. We also want to have a little fun. My partners in this have suggested we do a little grassroots marketing and use these calls for that. So here's what I'd like to do. If some of you there would like to bring somebody to a call in the next week, either a Thursday or Sunday. Our next call, of course, Thursday the 22nd or Sunday the 25th. If you bring somebody to one of those two calls, you'll receive a free Prayers for 45 t-shirt. How we can do this? Send an email to info@prayersfor45 with the phone number of the person you will bring to our call. And we will be able to verify that phone number did indeed call in to one of the prayer calls on the 22nd or the 25th. So send an email to info@prayersfor45 with that phone number of who you want to bring to the call. Okay, after that commercial announcement, we got to do something here, folks, to grow this community. So we thought we'd have a little fun with it. Hope you will participate. Let's move into our second prayer. As we said earlier, this is kind of a break in our routine. We've been praying for the reset of the rule of law, but something has become terribly pressing to all of us, and that is our friends and family that are not on board with us. And to that end, not only are they not on board, but we have this label anti-Trumpers, because they're so full of animosity and so critical, and to many of them self-righteous in their behavior. And as I said, they are sending us some negative energy. Some of them want to even disown us. I haven't seen that on our side. I don't know anybody who's on this call that's ever even thought about disowning a family member that doesn't agree with who they voted for president. Are you kidding me? Is that what this country has come to? Oh, you voted for Trump? We've been told we're going to be exterminated. But my point is this. We need to pray for these people. We need to send them love and prayers. It's the only way forward in the spiritual war. And I would like to bring Christine in because she's got a very personal story to tell. She and I spoke about this yesterday, and she was asking me, what would you do with a family member? And the first thing I told her is, just know you're not alone. You are not alone. We all have a friend or family member that has come at us with our support for Trump. Christine, how are you? Please tell your share your story. Jump on in.
I will. Thank you so much, Scotty. And that call yesterday that we had together when I asked you that question was just, you were just such a great light, and God really operated through you, and I was very appreciative. Not that I'm a doubter, but I really think that at times we really need to encourage each other, and that was such great insight and encouragement. So what happened was, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, and they will shun, and I've lost all my friends. I lost a lot of family. My mother continued to talk to me for a long time, but the deal was is that there was just such a breaking up of our family because of religious ideology when I left. And, I never wanted to be part of organized religion again. Those were my first sentiments. I was never an atheist, but I'll tell you that I have been so inspired by our president, and so in the last few years, just really absolutely grateful that I have a president, that we have a president that I am actually in my adult life for the first time really excited about. And I shared this with my family a little bit, but my sister, it seemed as though as time went on and things have become so embroiled with so many things that thing that happened on Saturday between us was very hurtful to me because we had been estranged for a while. We rebuilt our relationship last year. And suddenly, it seems within the past few weeks, she's been so not just anti-Trump, but sending me texts and cartoons of horrible things about him and just almost trying to get at me with it, I'd say. And what I have to say about that is that it was very hurtful. And Saturday, we were having this conversation about something that had nothing to do with politics or our president or anything, and she just threw it in there and started going at it and yelling at me and calling me out and how can you and how dare you and he said this and he did that. And everything she was saying was not true. I mean, it was just so twisted, and you could tell that she'd been, it's like a kid that says, no, I wasn't eating the powdered Kool-Aid box in the cabinet, and their whole face is red and their tongue is red. It's like she just had all of the mainstream media smeared all over her as she was talking to me. And I asked her, why are you angry at me? I don't understand. Why are you yelling at me? And she kind of calmed down. But the thing I think that really happened was, and I think this is happening in our country, the left and the extreme left and all of these strange things. She lives in Portland. Actually, that was Friday night, I think, because Saturday was the Antifa thing. The thing is that I think that what happens is that there's a term I came up with on the air, and it's called familial referred pain. And what that means is just like when you drink something cold and you get brain freeze, it's because you don't have enough nerves in your throat to register the pain. So it registers on your head. Well, the same thing happens in families, I think, and in friends and in relationships and work. People are so charged up. They know that this mainstream media, they're reflecting back the nowhere to go now. We know we've been lying. This mainstream media has been lying. They've been lying and they know it now. But all of their scurrying, all of their frantic way, all of their desperation is now being reflected in our family members, in our friends, work people, whatever. And now you have this situation where the division is even deeper if people let it be, because there is just nowhere to send that pain. Nowhere to send the desperation. And so we who are trying to actually do really great things in the country and help other people to understand, to have hope and faith and trust in our God and trust that our president is doing the right things, that it is just so difficult to talk to them. It's like a caged animal. You can't reach in and touch them because, that you know, they're just so amped up. And so I think that's what happened. And I'm just so grateful for this group. I can't even express how grateful I am, because really, seriously, it has just saved me from the really awful sentiments that have been thrown my way. And just, you know, we were chased down the street a little while ago in our car because we had a flag on it. There are just so many things that happen here in Seattle that are just terrible. But the deal is what I see is that, and I said this when our president was elected, it's like peroxide. You throw peroxide on a bunch of germs, it's going to bubble up and bubble up and bubble up. And that's what's happening now, I think.
Well, Christine, familial referred pain is real. I'm sure of that. Mm-hmm. It's real life stuff. But you know what? Familial referred strength is even more powerful.
And oh, you bet.
That's what we're drawing, certainly, from this group. And you lead me to think of the character of this group that you say has helped save you. I know many of the people. There's 29 people on the call right now. I know, I wouldn't say most. I recognize half the phone numbers on the board. The character of this group is it's impeccable, and you're feeding off that energy, and that's why we're going to keep doing this, because we know in the spiritual war we are on the right side of this. And look, our family and friends struggling with us, the cognitive, you don't have to be a psychology major to understand cognitive dissonance. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
These people
mm-hmm.
are in denial. Are they not? They're all in denial. You said it. They're just waking up, and they sense. Look, if you've watched Rachel Maddow or Don Lemon or Anderson Cooper or Chris Fredo Cuomo, if you've watched any of these people, individually they don't have big audiences. Collectively
right.
they do. They have been lying, lying, lying. Rachel Maddow's representations to her audience, not one has been right since Trump was elected. So, look, they're hooked. They're hooked in. They're going through denial. They're angry still. They know they're being lied to. And everyone wants to place the blame. And, well, we're the easy target. So we appreciate you sharing that story. And
yeah, and one more thing I'd like to say, and that is
sure,
today on
please.
My show, today on my show, you know, I talked about all this. I talked about Epstein, NXIVM, all of it, okay? And when I was talking about it, I have a new young man. You know, he voted for Hillary. We've been having conversations. He listened in, and after the show, he said, you are just educating me. I never thought of these things. I didn't know. And the thing is like one conversation like that is it can combat 1,000 of the other stuff. And I feel like this group, as it grows, and I'm going to concentrate on bringing more people in and announcing it on the air, but as it grows, this little group is going to offset so many thousands of those things.
I believe that. I believe any group prayer that's ever been done, especially with the caliber of people in this group, and being on the right side of the spiritual war, we just know we have God on our side. They have Satan. And, hey, if I'm going to Vegas and betting, I'm taking God over Satan every day of the week. So,
yep.
Betty, are you there? We'd like you to tie in Christine's story to prayer now, if you would lead our prayer for our friends and family that are anti-Trumpers, and we want to shower them with love and prayer. Betty, please. Betty, are you there? Hold on. Let's see where Betty is. I've got the wrong person unmuted. Hang in there, Betty. I'll get you. One second, everybody, please. I had the wrong person.
There we are. You got me?
Betty, how are you?
I'm doing well. I was here the whole time.
That, if this was a live radio show, I'd have to hope my producers in the studio were on the ball and fill in that little gap, but we're all friends here, and you're going to lead us in prayer, so let's get at it.
Let's get at it. You know, it doesn't matter. I was thinking that it really doesn't matter what the message is, whether it's, you know, our position, why we voted for Trump, or some of the things that have been happening with the Fed and going back to the gold standard, the atrocities with pedophilia and, you know, the banking system and the drugs and who's behind it and 9/11 and all of that. It really doesn't matter what the message is. If the message is a message of truth and it's a message that God wants to get out, our response and how we deliver the message is still the same. And so I turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Paul and Silas are in the town of Thessalonica. They have just come from Philippi, where they had been totally beaten up and imprisoned wrongly, even though they were Roman citizens, and they were falsely accused when they got to Thessalonica. But here's what they say: but we proved, and they were giving, you know, sharing the gospel in spite of all the opposition. And that says in verse 7, but we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. And so they still had they had this feeling of closeness and of responsibility, motherly love towards the people that they were trying to teach about the truth of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the kind of the attitude and stance that we have to have, is that, you know, they've been taught, our opposers have been taught, they've been brainwashed into believing that we are evil people, and they are all reacting in mass in the same way because they've been brainwashed to do that. Look at these awful people, and they need to die. And so it's almost like an automatic, autonomous response. And so it's going to really take a calm spirit of love to really red pill them slowly, because the shock, I mean, I remember when I first was being red pilled myself, what's been going on in my country? And I voted for Trump, but what's been going on in my country? There was a period of grieving and of anger when I found out the truth. And so it's not going to be easy for those that were trying to convince or just educate. I love the word educate. Thanks, Denise. I just love that we are going to educate them about what is the truth. That's kind of the spirit, that we need to be patient teachers and speaking to them in love and with calmness, which I need to learn because I'm not a very calm person. When I talk, I get really excited, very Cuban. So anyways, let's go to prayer. I'm going to be praying along the lines of Psalm 27, if everybody will join with me. Lord, we come before you because you are our light and you are our salvation, and we don't have to be afraid because you are the one who defends us. We don't have to be afraid of the people who oppose us, Lord. There are people who say vile things about us, that we have adversaries and enemies. We seem to be surrounded by them, but our hearts will not fear, even though we have in the media and in our own families people who are hostile and who oppose us, Lord. We do not have to fear because we have truth on our side. If truth is what we are trying to speak, Lord, then truth is on our side, and you will be with us as we speak that truth. But, Lord, help us to do it with a spirit of love, not mirroring their hostility, but speaking in a calm voice, Lord, so that we can de-escalate all of the animosity that is in the room and surrounding the table. Help us to see those who are opposing us with love and not with hatred. Help us to embrace them. Help us to ask questions. Help us to get them to think about why they feel the way they feel. And, Lord, help us to be calm as we try to think of our point. Sometimes we get forgetful because of the emotion. We want to be able to defend our position, Lord. And sometimes we forget even just some of the facts that we want to share. But help us to be able to just supernaturally remember what it is that we want to say. Help us to trust you when we're confronted with our hostile family members and with lies and with mistruths or half-truths. And so give us good recall when we're trying to explain why we support our president. And, Lord, we rebuke the spirit of hatred that is in this country, and we rebuke the spirit of division that is in this country, because that's really what is behind all of this. The demons are rejoicing. They don't care who the message is. This could have been, you know, eons ago with Caesar, or when Jesus was being crucified. They are rejoicing that there is hatred, and that people are turning against each other, and that their evil is increasing, and that's really what they're about, and they don't care what it is that's causing it. And so I pray that the veil of lies would be lifted, and that a spirit of truth would prevail in our country and around our dinner tables, and that a spirit of love would surround our families, that we would see each other as more important than even the politics, Lord, and that people would know that we are believers and that we belong to you by our love. And so let love prevail, and let a spirit of peace and unity just envelop our entire country, Lord. Bring your angels, let those angels war against those demons, and let there be peace on earth. And Lord, let that peace begin with each and every one of us. Let that peace, Lord, begin with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, Lord. And so come, Lord Jesus, come. Come abide in our hearts and help us to confront hatred with love. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who enabled us to be able to do this, amen.
So awesome, Betty. Always enjoy your how you bring scripture to prayer. It's great. We are blessed to have such great prayer leaders that are always fulfilling this opportunity and role in making us really be able to. We couldn't do this without you. So, Betty, thank you so much. And I want to close on a very positive note by saying first, Christine, I think there's great hope and positivity toward your resolving things with your sister. As we talked about on our call yesterday, she will come around when the truth is presented. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She's your blood. When truth prevails, she will come to understand you. Just as my neighbors, a couple Black Hawk helicopter pilot, 3 tours in Iraq. No doubt he's a Trump voter, supporter. He gets it. He got it when he was flying Black Hawk helicopters in Iraq. He understood it back then. So he has a wife. She voted for Clinton. She berated him, and things were really tense for couple weeks in their house, and after the election he let the smoke clear, and little by little he began to sit her down and show her things, articles, videos, and she's a teacher. She understands the truth if it's presented to her, and Christine, your sister, will understand the truth when it's presented to her. They just have been blinded by the bullshit, pardon my language, of the mainstream media, and I have to call it what it is, the BS with the mainstream media has got our family and friends, but on a positive note, not for long. This too shall pass, and I think 80%, let's just say 80% of all those people right now that are anti-Trumpers will come around. 20% will never. They'll hang on to what's they will live in the past, and for those people, we'll continue to pray. So, all right, Christine, anything you want to add before we close? Maybe she's not on the call, or maybe I muted her. I don't know. But in any event, we will close with our prayer. Lord, we devoted ourselves to prayer tonight, being watchful and thankful, and in turn, you will show us the light at the end of this day and every day. Thank you, God, for the harvest. We're thankful for what we have. And for what we will receive, in this spirit of thankfulness, we pray with a very grateful heart. Your loving presence provides for every need. You make the rough way smooth, and we thank you for your vigilant care. Lord, we're grateful to be on our mission tonight to pray for President Trump. We're grateful he is leading us through this great awakening, and he is focused on his mission and purpose as president. Lord, we're grateful you are here to reassert our sovereignty, to reform the liberal satanic cabal. We pray and give thanks that you will guide our friends and family as we discuss tonight, and our fellow American patriots to help us and to exert their sovereignty too. Lord, we're grateful for our prayer leaders tonight, Kimberly and Betty, and we're grateful for Christine sharing her story. Grateful for Diane and Ingrid and all Pastor Joseph, all of our prayer leaders, and most of all, we're grateful for you that came tonight to make up this great community and joined our call. Lord, we rule in the midst of your enemies. Do not waver or back down. Stand in the face of opposition, knowing that all of heaven is with you. Do not fix your eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is external. Walk in the fear of the Lord and the power of his might. Use your God-given authority to execute justice and establish righteous rule over America in our great world. Thank you, Lord, for the rich tapestry of colors and creation, for the beauty that's all around us. Our heart is so grateful and brimming with thanks. Lord, we're grateful for our family and friends and all that we have to support us in our lives. We're grateful you brought us together tonight on this prayer call. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. We're closing. There's 30 people before the call's over. That's amazing for Sunday night. Go out, hang up the phone, give somebody a big hug, and have a great week. We'll see you Thursday. Adios, amigos.